chapter number 4. The book of 1 John, chapter number 4, is where we'll be this morning for just a few minutes. And hopefully we'll say something that'll be a help and a blessing to someone. We've been in 1 John for a few weeks now on our Sunday mornings, and we'll bring this to a close soon. But I'm thankful for the Word of God and what it means to our heart and what it means to our life and what an assurance and a challenge that God's Word is. And if you're in 1 John chapter 4 and you'd like to stand and stretch your legs for just a minute, I'll invite you to do that at this time. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 7, and we'll read down through verse number 16. And from verse number 8, we'll find our thought for today and try to preach to you for a few minutes the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." Pay attention to these next four words. "For God is love." I don't know if you highlight in your Bible or mark, but you might want to underline that. John said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us," here it is again, "God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him." Father, I ask your blessing upon this message. I ask that you would do in the hearts of these men and women what needs to be done today. Speak to a soul. Help some person, Lord, maybe reach the Savior, we ask in Jesus' name. And amen, you can be seated. Twice in these passages of Scripture, John declares to us that God is love. In fact, this is the third time in the book of 1 John that John has dealt with this subject of love. Now, the fact that John is dealing with this now for the third time does not mean that John has run out of things to say, and so he doesn't have any new ideas, so he's just repeating himself. That is not what John is doing. In fact, it is the opposite of that. It is the fact that John realizes that this subject is so important that the Holy Ghost brings him to it now one more time. It is interesting that every time John repeats this subject of love in this book, he takes us into a deeper and a fuller meaning of the subject. The first time he mentions it in chapter 1, I believe it was, and he tells us that love is a sign of fellowship. When we love each other, it shows that we have fellowship with God. We see after that that not only is love a sign of fellowship, but we see it's a sign of sonship. We love the brethren because we are the sons and the daughters of God. But now we see in chapter 4 something even greater. We see that love is divine in 1 John chapter 4, because John states on two occasions, God is love. You see, love is divine. Love is of God. God is love, is what John tells us. You see, the love of fellowship and the love of sonship flow from the one who is love. Since God is love,
It makes sense that we in turn love God. And if we love God, then it also makes sense that we love our brethren. You see, this is the reason that love is such a valid test of salvation. True salvation results in a life of love. Since God loved us, it makes sense that we love each other. Now, John tells us in this passage of Scripture, God is love. I thought about that statement this week, and I want to preach for a few minutes on that thought. That's the title of my message, God is love. I want to show you three things out of this chapter, these verses we just read. This morning, I want us to see God as He is, as John declares Him to us as being love. I want you to write this down if you take notes. I want you to write down number one. I want you to write down the display of His person. In this passage, we see the display of His person. He says in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Last Sunday night, I preached to you on the message, the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. And we looked at that passage where Paul the Apostle said, that I might know Him. There was something in Paul's life that he had a longing to know Jesus Christ. He said, that I might know Him. I believe it was Philip that said unto the Lord, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." You know what he was saying to Jesus? He was saying, "Show us God. Let us see God. Let us understand God." And Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen Him." It was Moses that said to God, "God, let me see your glory. God, let me see you. Let me know you for who you are." You see, these men had a longing in their soul. They wanted to know God. And John is telling us now something about God that we might learn of Him, that we might know Him greater. He says, God is love. That is a display of His person. That is who that God is. God is love. John teaches us about God. This is the third descriptive terminology that John has given us in his writings of God to help us understand who God is. It was in the Gospel of John that John gives us the first description in chapter 4, verse number 24, and this is what he said. He said, God is a spirit. He said, God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God's a spirit. Then he tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So God is a spirit. And then he tells us God is light. And now in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he gives us another descriptive term. He says, God is love. Each of these descriptions tell us something new and something different, something wonderful about God. God's a spirit. That is what He is in His essence. God does not dwell in flesh and blood like we dwell in flesh and blood. John tells us that He became flesh and blood. He entered the womb of Mary, but that was not His essence. He was a spirit. He's a spirit man. In fact, He is at the Father's right hand, and He is not flesh and blood, but He's a glorified body. He is a spirit. That is who God is. He says God is light. That tells us something more about God. It tells us not only is He a spirit, but it tells us there's no darkness in Him. He is holy and He is pure and He is without defilement. God's not a yin and a yang where there's a little light in all the darkness and a little darkness in all the light. That's not true. John said God is light. He has no darkness at all. He is 100% pure. He is 100% holy in His nature. But now John says God is love. This is not to say that love is God. That's not what John said. John did not say love is God, but God is love. You see, some people treat love like a God, but that's not what John is saying. You see, love does not define God, but God defines love. And since God is both light and love, that tells us that God's love is holy and God's love is pure. God's love is different than the love of this world. Therefore, you and I, as the children of God, must love differently than this world loves. God is love. And he says, if we know God, then we will also love. In fact, John gives us two reasons that we'll love. He said, first of all, you'll love because you're born of God in verse number 7. God is love. God is love. And therefore, because we are born of God, we must also love our brethren. Love is not something that is taught, and love is not something that is trained. Love is born into our nature the moment that we are saved. When God saves us, he gives us his nature. And because he is love, we also have been called upon to love each other. He said, we are born of God, so we love. He said in verse number 8, we know God, so we love. That word know is more than a common knowledge. It is deeper than that. It is more than that. It means to have a personal relationship with him. And since we have a personal relationship with God, we love each other. I said a few minutes ago, I'll say it again, that love is a good test of salvation. John tells us in verse number 8 that a person that does not love, that is a good indication that they do not know God. John's not telling us that everybody that has love in their heart is saved. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that there is a divine kind of love that we can have and that we should have and that we will have if we're truly saved. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said it this way. Dr. McGee one time said, this is another test of whether you're a child of God or not. He went on to say, I'm not asking you if you love your mama or your papa. I'm not asking you whether you love your wife or your husband or your children or your kissing cousin. I'm not asking you that, but I am asking you this. Do you love other believers? And that is a question of salvation. Do you love the brethren? Is there something inside of you that loves the church, loves the things of God, and loves the people of God? If you can't answer yes to that question, then I would wonder what was wrong inside. Because God in his nature is love. And if we are born of him, we have his nature and we love. Who God is determines who you are. And we should love because he has loved us. I see, number one, the display of his person, who he is love. Number two, I want you to write this down. I not only see the display of his person, but I see a demonstration of his passion. I see a demonstration of his passion. Verse number 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, true love is not measured in word, but true love is measured in deed. Can I give you a piece of advice? I'm not preaching another marriage retreat this morning, but can I give you a piece of advice? My advice to you would be that it is good to tell someone that you love them. It's good to tell your spouse that you love them, but it's better to show them that you love them. Amen? You see, to say that you love someone is good, but to display that you love someone is better. I believe that's what Paul had in mind when he said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 1, he said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, I can say all the words and I can let it be known with my mouth, but if my actions don't back it up, then it's meaningless. Since God is love and true love is measured in action, then God proved his love to you and to me. You see, God has revealed his love to us. God did not just say, I love you. But God acted on our behalf and God displayed a love so that we could see that he really loved us. You say, how did God display his love? Well, God displayed his love in creation. We know that. If you read the story of Noah after the flood and he offers his sacrifices to God in chapter number 8, and God in his heart begins to talk to himself. And he said, I'll never do what I just did again. I'll never destroy the earth with a flood. And then he said in verse 22, he said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, the cold and the heat, the summer and the winter, the day and the night shall not cease. Basically what God was saying is this, I will let creation testify every day that I love people. You walk out into a night sky and you see the stars in the sky and they twinkle, and as they twinkle, they are speaking to you, God loves you. You go out on a clear summer day and you hear the birds chirping in the trees, and you may not realize it, but they're singing a melody, and their melody says, God loves you. You look up into the sky and you see the lightning crash, and you hear the thunder roll, and that is a testimony, God loves you. And as the rain falls and the snow falls and the sun shines, all of creation is saying, God loves every one of you. God is showing us his love. God displayed his love to the children of Israel. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 7 and 8, it said, the Lord God did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you're more in number than any people, for you are fewer than all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto his fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. You see, God loves in creation. God loved in the Old Testament. But may I say, the greatest expression of God's love is the gift of Jesus Christ. John 3:16. We all could quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave. There it is. There's a display of his love. God did not just say, I love you. God said, I love you, so I'm going to give to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God to be willing to send his Son was a great expression of love. For his Son to be willing to lay down his life was an even greater expression of love. For Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loved you so much that he gave his only Son for you. And his Son loved you so much that he laid down his life willingly for you so that you in turn could be saved. It is great that God is love. It is even better that he said, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved you. That was the display of his person. But now his passion is revealed, and that he died for you and he died for me. John tells us that in this was manifest, that's the word that John uses, in this was manifest the love of God. That word manifest means to come out of the darkness. It means to step out into the open or to make public. You know what God did when Christ died on Calvary? He stepped out of the shadows and he stepped out into the open and he said publicly, I love you. Up until this point, God had dwelled in a hidden place, in a secret place. God was hidden from the average man by two veils. The veil of the temple and the veil of the most holy place. And in that most holy place where man could not go and where man could not see lest he died, There God was hidden. But when Jesus died on Calvary, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And in this was manifest the love of God. God stepped out into the open, into the public, and said, I love you. Can I say to somebody today, God loves you. God loves you so much that on the cross He paid your sin debt. On the cross He gave His life. He gave His life so that you in turn might be able to have life. I want you to notice something with me. Notice the price God was willing to pay so that you could be saved. Notice what He said. He said He gave us His only begotten Son in verse number 9. That's what it says. And this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son. Do you realize that this is the only, the one and the only time that John uses the phrase only begotten Son in 1 John? He'll use it in the Gospel of John, but this is the first time he uses it here. That means that God gave the thing that was nearest and dearest to Him. God gave the thing that was most precious to Him. God gave the thing that He loved the most so that He could have you, so that He could have a relationship with you. He gave His all so that He might be able to have you. Jesus tells us the story of the man who is traveling, the merchant man, and in his travels he finds a pearl of great price. And the Bible says that he goes and sells all that he has that he might be able to buy the field so that he can have that pearl of great price. And can I say to you this morning that you were that pearl of great price, and God saw you and God loved you and God said, I have to have you. And so he gave everything he had. He died on the cross. He gave his very life so that he might be able to have each of you. God is love, and God loves you. No wonder the Bible said in John chapter 15 and verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Because the death of Christ, you and I are able to live. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, and this was manifest love to God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. This is a strange thought that one man had to die so that another might be able to live. The Jews were familiar with this. They were used to offering animal sacrifices to God on behalf of their sins. But this was no animal. And this was no normal sacrifice. This was the very God of the universe. This was God incarnate in the flesh. And God willingly laid down His life so that you could be saved. Once again, because God is love, we have been called upon to love one another. You see, if you really were to get in your mind's eye Calvary and the love that God had for the world on Calvary, it would change the way that you look at the world and the way that you love the world. Let me show you this last of all. I see number three. I see the desire of His plan. The desire of His plan. He said in verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that God, the love that God had to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 12 through verse 16 tells us what this whole chapter is all about. 5 times in these chapters, the word dwell is mentioned. John is saying God is love, God displayed His love, and He did it all for one purpose. And that one purpose is that He might be able to dwell in you. God loved, God displayed love. Jesus died because He wants to have a relationship with every one of you. You see, it's not enough for God just to tell you that He loves you. It's not even enough for God just to show you that He loved you. But the reason He told you and the reason He showed you is because He wants a relationship with you. Since the early days of Genesis, God has always desired to dwell among His people. In Genesis, we read about men like Adam and Noah and Enoch that walked with God. We read about Abraham, who is the friend of God. God wanted a relationship with His people. He took it one step further in the Gospels when the Bible says God became flesh and He dwelled among His people. God walked among His creation. Can you imagine the Creator walking by the Sea of Galilee and all those people walking by Him, and He knew every hair that was on their head. He knew the deepest longing of their soul. He knew how many fish were in the sea. He created them all. Amen. There He was. But instead of accepting Him, they rejected Him and they nailed Him on a cross. But that did not stop God. Our God did not quit with that. In fact, the cross simply opened up a way for Him to dwell among His people even greater. For when Jesus died on the cross, it made it possible for God not only to dwell with men and among men, but to dwell inside of men. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" God is love. God displayed His love, but He did so for the purpose of coming inside, saving you from your sins, and having a real relationship with you. Allow me to finish with 2 thoughts. Allow me first of all to say to somebody today, God loves you. God loved you so much that He did something amazing for you. He gave you His Son. And by giving you His Son, He provided a way that you might be saved, that your sins might be forgiven, and that you can know that heaven will be your home when you die. Love did all of that for you. God loves you. So I don't see how God could love somebody like me. Well, that's the amazing thing about God's love. It's a love of the will. God has willed Himself to love you. The psalmist David said, "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." There was a thief dying on the cross right next to Jesus that moments ago had mocked Him and ridiculed Him, made fun of Him. But when something happened in his heart and he said, "Oh Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom," there was enough love inside of the heart of the dying Savior that He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That is love. God loves you. God loves all of you. But let me say this, the fact that God loves does not mean that God ignores. Understand what I mean by that. You see, most of the time when we hear a preacher preach a message on the love of God or God is love, they'll usually preach it in this manner. God loves everybody. Oh, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. God loves you enough that, you know, just try your best to do your best and try your hardest. It'll all be okay. Just as long as your goods outweigh your bads, everything will be fine. But before John told us God is love, he told us God is light. And the fact that He is light means in Him is no darkness. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. God loves you, But if you die lost without Jesus Christ, His love won't cause Him to open up the back door of heaven and sneak you in. He loved you, and because He loved you, He gave you His Son. But if you choose to reject His Son, you will pay for your own sins, you will die in your sins, and you will go to hell when you die. Surely God wouldn't send somebody to hell. No, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. In fact, Jesus Himself said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then I believe it is in that same passage. He said, but the fact of the matter is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and they choose to stay in the darkness. And as long as you're in the darkness, your sins are on you, and you'll pay for them one day. But God loved you. And God gave His Son to die on the cross for your sins so you did not have to bear your sins. He that knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Let me say lastly, to those of you that are saved, you should be showing His love to this world. Amen. Someone would say, well, if God is inside of me, is He not still hidden? He should not be hidden. That's what John has been trying to illustrate to us. We should let the world see God in us. I wonder as we bow our heads and we close our eyes. If Brother Eric can help me on the piano, I'd appreciate it. Let me ask you two questions today. Number one, let me ask you this. Are you saved? There's one person that I know about this morning, and that's me. But only you know what your relationship with God is. While I do not know what your relationship with God is, I do know this. I know God loves you. God stepped out into the open and displayed His love when Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The greatest thing about the love of God is that His love was an action love. He loved you, so He died for you. But now wait a minute. God wants you to receive that love, but it's going to take some action on your part. And so what do I have to do? The Bible says that you must call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you this morning, are you saved? If you're not saved today, I invite you to come down to the altar. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be saved. You can receive the greatest gift that man has ever known, the gift of God's love, sins forgiven, a home in heaven. Let me ask you this, number two. If you are here this morning and you are saved, are you displaying God's love to this world? Or is God's love hidden down deep inside of you somewhere? God was not selfish with His love, nor should you and I be selfish with His love. We should let the world see every day that God loves them. And I wonder if there's somebody that needs to come pray. While we wait, while He plays, if you need to come pray, these altars are open. You come on at this time. Don't let the devil rob you out of what God has given you.